I love that last song. Didn't you like that last song? Wasn't that neat? I love that. Wow. I love your service. I'm just going to tell you right now, I wish you were a little closer to Oakland, Maryland. That's all I can tell you. I think Jen back here, I was telling my brother the other day, because we've always, there's a certain thing about ministry that God deserves excellence. Excellence glorifies God. You guys really do it well. I mean, bang, bang, bang. I mean, for me, it would drive me crazy if there was a dead space, you know, when I was in Mill Chapel. And try to run that as close as you can without a lot of dead space. I'm telling you, Jen is just on top of it. Please give her a hand this morning. She does an amazing job. She does. She does a good job. And it's good to be here. I've been trying to get ready for another triathlon at 66 years old, and that's not one of the smartest things I've done. Last year, it seemed like running came a little easier. This year, it's not coming easy at all. So when I think of people like Matt Beavers, who stays in shape, I mean, this guy could be in a magazine. He's just pretty muscular, and he's a police officer and stays in shape. And oh, my heavens, I find it. But somebody asked me, what's it like to be retired? Every day is Saturday except Sunday. Every day is Saturday except Sunday. And my brother, he asked me, what's it like to be retired? I said, every day is Saturday but Sunday. But he said, I hate you. So I don't think he really meant that. But we do need to pray. I want to pray right now for Pastor Rick. Is he presently now in China? Is he in China right now? Okay, so we really need to be. I'm sure you're bathing him in prayer. Let's pray right now. Just open the service. I just want to pray. Father, today I'm grateful, Lord, for this church, for Victory Church. Thank you, Lord, for their wonderful people, for their love for you. God, their mission as their pastor is encouraging them to stay faithful to. And we pray for him today. We pray for Pastor Rick and the team that you would put a guard of protection around them, offensive protection. You can do that. There's nothing you can't do. Your hands are not tied. We pray also for Rick's family. Father, I cannot imagine the concern they have. So, Father, please please bless in our country with our leaders. We see stupidity at a rampant race. It seems like it's just crazy. But we do pray about this virus coming from China and pray, Lord, that he'll be able to isolate it and get rid of it. We pray for those in this service that are sick today. The flu's making its rounds. But I thank you for these people of this church, for this wonderful lady that took the kids out for kids' church. We shouldn't take those kind of things for granted. But God, thank you so much. Thanks for loving us today. No matter what's going on in our lives, you love us. That's just the way it is. Your love is perfect. So Father, please today, may your Holy Spirit be present and have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, how many of you are excited about the Super Bowl? Anybody excited? Wow, well, one person is. I've seen a pie thing, and I want to watch a clock here because I know you get out a certain time, and I want to make sure we stay true. Oh, you got a clock. Hallelujah. I love churches with clocks because then I can't take the blame if I run over if you don't have a clock, but now I can. And you can grab me by the collar. You said you'd be there. They said this pie thing, and there was a small sliver of people who were rooting for the 49ers. There was a small sliver of people rooting for the Chiefs. But the 98% of it, they were just happy that the Patriots weren't there. They weren't. I'm not happy about that. I am not happy. I'm going to call Tom Brady this afternoon and try to console him. But I did see something I thought was funny. It was church terms. How many of you are familiar with football at all? Anybody familiar with most of you are familiar. Either your kids or your grandkids or you've been involved in it. Well, sports aren't bad. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul actually referred to sports numerous times. He used things like, he spoke of endurance, finishing the race, fighting the good fight. So here is church football. This is church football. Might bring you a chuckle. The bench warmer. Those who do not sing, pray, work, or apparently do anything but sit. That is the bench warmer in church. How about the quarterback sneak? Church members quietly leaving during the invitation. Here's another one. Halftime. The period between Sunday school and worship when many choose to leave. Staying in the pocket. Now, that's generally what a quarterback will do, is stay in the pocket. In this instance, for church, what happens to a lot of money that should be given to the Lord's work? It stays in the pocket. Okay, you got that. Good. The end run, getting out of church quick without speaking to any guests or fellow members. The blitz. This is a major one for churches, and you know this when I tell you. The rush for the restaurants following the closing prayer. Okay. Sudden death. What happens to the attention span of the congregation
if the preacher goes overtime. All right, that's all we got for that. I just thought that would be fantastic. Super Bowl's this evening. How many are really excited about watching the Super Bowl today, tonight, whenever? I don't even know what time it is. If Tom Brady's not there, I'm not watching. What about the commercials? Hey, we like the commercials. I got to tell you, I love the Budweiser commercials because I like that little dog. I just like that little dog and the Clydesdale horses. So I really, really enjoy that. So I have a little clicker up here, which everybody knows I like, and it does have a, does it have a red dot on it? Oh, there it is. People from Mill Chapel get that. I mean, I just went sort of crazy with that, like a kid with a new toy. Let's take a look. We're looking at, I want to compare and parallel between, during the Super Bowl, between church and sports. What is the similarity there? Teamwork is a process of working collaboratively with a group of people in order to achieve a goal. That's what teamwork is. Teamwork, whether it's in a marriage, a husband is to cherish a wife, and the wife's to cherish a husband or respect the husband. What about on your job? You need teamwork. For Alan and Dave Shahan, they know all about teamwork because they work with bees. Bees are the epitome of teamwork. When they're born, they know what their calling is. They know what they're supposed to do. They know what their purpose is. Teamwork, the process of working collaboratively with a group of people in order to achieve a goal. Victory Church has a goal. Every church has a goal. Unfortunately, churches are closing shop at an astounding rate because people have given up the goal. They're more about, now I'm not saying this church, I believe you guys are on target with your mission, and you should be, and every church should be, to call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, and I know you are. You just have, there's just something, I just wish your room was bigger, because you're going to get bigger, and you're going to have to get a little tighter in here, because you got a great thing going here. You really do. I'm telling you, I wish you were closer. Okay, Ephesians 4:11. So Christ gave me, well, here, I'm turning around looking down, I'm used to that. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ, being the church, the body of Christ, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And it goes on a little bit after that. You're a team. The lady who went downstairs or wherever she went with the kids for kids' church, she's part of the team. Jenna's part of the team. You're part of the team. You're part of a team. Victory is a team. And if you don't work together, you fall apart if you don't work together. And I'm sure you do. But with the Super Bowl tonight, what is their mission? Well, we're going to talk. Yeah, actually, absolutely, winning. The goal, let's just go to the first one. Common goal, the mission. We're going to look at the six C's of building a team or being a Super Bowl Christian, if you want to put it that way. A buddy of mine texted me this morning. He said, guess what I'm speaking on today? I wanted to call him and say, did you steal my notes, man? Because he said he was talking about Super Bowl Christians. Well, you can't miss that with Super Bowl. The Super Bowl goal this evening is to win the Super Bowl. And it's not so much about the money as it is the ring that they get to wear. I mean, it's really a big deal to have a Super Bowl ring. The common goal, the mission. I heard your pastor here a while back when I sang, talk about the mission at Victory, the mission, carrying out the gospel, sharing Jesus with other people. Guys, you can do that anywhere. You can do that anywhere, I'm telling you. I've done it anywhere. I've done it on a motorcycle. God's given me opportunities, and you probably have done this. At a gas pump, if I notice somebody, I remember some lady in Kingwood one night years ago, and she was over there just tears just pouring. I didn't know who she was, and in this day and age, you have to be careful. But I was just over, I was broken, and I walked over and said, ma'am, what's going on? And she didn't tell me exactly what was going on, and I just prayed with her there at a gas pump. I don't care who's watching. I don't care. I know he's watching. I don't care. Guys, that has to be our mission. We can't worry about, oh, they might be offended. If I pray with them, somebody will be offended. If that person says it's okay to pray with them, pray with them. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry. Because we have a common goal, and our mission is to glorify Christ. That is our mission. The mission of the 49ers tonight and the Chiefs is win the Super Bowl. That's their mission. That's their goal. And everything that they do contributes to that. Everything that you do in the church should contribute to whatever the mission is. If it does not contribute to the mission, you need to do away with it. Now, the women are getting together. Do the guys get together? And if you don't, you should. Men get lonely. I'll tell you, I'm one guy who gets lonely. I like people. I'm a people person. I mean, I'll torment you just like Dave Shahan here. We torment each other. Alan does too. Don over here, you know, Bob, but we're friends. We do it through fellowship. And Wes, we're friends. We fellowship together. You need fellowship. Men need fellowship. Men get lonely. And I'm going to tell you, that's part of that mission. We encourage each other in Christ. And you may have a person in the mix who's a little bit off color. Listen, we had people come. They would tell some off color jokes, and they just weren't there yet. Did we stone them? No, we did not stone them. But everybody knew it was inappropriate. But you love the person anyway, and somebody has to have a quiet, loving conversation. Listen, I know that you like to tell those things. This isn't the place. Now, you don't want to embarrass them either. But the mission, what's the mission of Victory? You know what the mission. It's sharing Christ. Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach and make disciples. Make disciples, glorify Christ. That's a mission. The church has a mission. Matthew 28:19. Once again, Jesus said, go into all the world making disciples. Making disciples. Have you been working, even in your home, making disciples? Are there disciples in your home? Are your kids being discipled? I was so happy this morning that of course, it's been a couple years now. My kids were raised in church and accepted Jesus, but over the years wandered away. And my son went through a period, I don't know if you knew, that the paper mill shut down in Luke, Maryland. I mean, my granddad worked there, my dad worked there, I worked there, my son worked there, and he lost his job. And I knew he was scared, and he's a worrier. Most people are worriers by nature. Do I worry? Not anymore, I just don't. And it's so cool to not worry. The problem is you don't know what to do with that time that you used to use when you worried. But I said, Tim, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Live for him. Worship him faithfully, and he'll provide for you. He'll take care of your needs. He said, but Dad, I said, Tim, Jesus said. Dad didn't say it. Jesus said it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be provided. All your needs will be provided. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a brand new Harley or a new wardrobe, ladies, or a brand new bunch of shoes or whatever you buy, makeup, whatever you buy. Guys, we like our toys. The only difference is our toys are more expensive than they were when we were little. But I said, Tim, God will provide for you. And he was attending church off and on. He won't miss a Sunday now. He won't miss. Because I know sometimes we're afraid to say something to our kids. We're afraid I'm going to make them mad at me. I thought, you know something? They're adults, get mad. Same way with my daughter. She goes to church when I'm preaching in the area. Other than that, she doesn't go. I said, Tim, you know, when he got the job, he had a job 2 weeks or 1 week after the mill shut down. I said, you know who provided the job? Yeah, Dad. I know God provided that. I just kept it right in front of him. I wasn't going to back off. It was in front of him the whole time. I kept it in front. I want him to remember this because we have a tendency to get busy in life and forget about who has provided what. And then he gets a job at ABL, which is a great job. I said, well, you know who provided that job, don't you? He said, yes, Dad, God provided that job. He said, I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed. And they won't miss unless he has to work there at ABL on Sunday, which is very, very seldom. The next one, Commitment. Well, let me back one down. I want to get down to two. This is not Jen's fault. Oh, what did I do? Hey, Jen, what did I do? I don't know. Oh, commitment to church. There it is, commitment to church. Okay, commitment. Okay, with the sports team, with the team tonight, these guys had to be at practice. They had to be committed. They had to be sold out. They had to spend a lot of time at practice. They had to be in skull sessions. And for those of you who don't know what a skull session is, when a team gets together and they go over their plays and they go over what they're going to do. Commitment. They're committed to the team. Now, we've seen bad examples of that. And I hate to throw him out there, but Antonio Brown is a prime example. And we need to pray for a guy like that. It seems like the guy's a little bit wacko for some reason. But he's so talented, but the talent does no good with a bad attitude. In the same in church, you can't have a bad attitude. If you got a bad attitude, you're just like a poison. If you have a bad attitude, you light up a room when you walk out. How many of you know people who light up a room when they walk in? People like that light up a room when they walk out. Are you one of them? I mean, honestly, are you a whiner, complainer, and you walk out of it? I mean, and everybody sort of, yeah, boy, that's nice, they're going. I mean, you want to be a kind of person, but these people are committed. And we've seen bad examples of commitment, and he's one. Colin Kaepernick is another one. They were more committed to their own ego and trying to get a point across, and it cost them. Commitment to the church. Are you faithful in your attendance? Some seasons may start with the entire team focused on a common goal, and rarely do they end up that way. Commitment is probably the most single factor in the differences with championship teams and championship churches. I will be there. I will be there. I will not. Yeah, I know it's a nice Sunday, and I like to be out on the boat. Listen, as a pastor, I need to be in a worship service. Why? To focus on God. Because there's so many distractions outside of it. There's so many distractions. There's work, there's business, there's family. There's all kinds of stuff that distracts us. But commitment. I'm committed to my church. Are you committed to victory? Are you? Apparently you are. You're here this morning. Are you committed? Is your attendance faithful? Now, you know that the faithful, what you're considered faithful attendance now, according to, I can't remember the name, it's an organization that does surveys, and they say if you're considered faithful now if you attend twice a month. Isn't that sort of pathetic? I mean, growing up, I remember when we moved up from Baltimore, I was born in West Virginia, we moved to Baltimore, Dad worked, we moved back to West Virginia, and they would drop us off at church for the first year. And then they started attending church with us. And then it got to a point where, I mean, you'd have to be on life support to not be able to go to church. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, you had to be in a hospital ready to meet the Lord before Dad would let you stay home from church. I faked a migraine one time. Didn't even know what it was. I just knew the people got them. He said, well, you can have it at church too. It'll pass. Well, he taught me about commitment. You're not going to use some little flimsy excuse. You see, God blesses faithfulness, and I told him that. I told my son, God will bless you, your faithfulness, if you're faithful. If you're faithful, God will bless you. If you're not, no, he's not required to do that. God's not required. His love is unconditional. His blessings are not. We have to be faithful to God. What about your giving? Do you give? Do you support? Do you tithe? Now, boy, I mentioned that word. I bet if we put one of these cuffs on you, your heart rate would just went up when I mentioned money. Because some people just don't like that. They get ticked. Well, I don't want to hear about it. Too stinking bad. I'm only preaching here this one Sunday. My point is this. You can't outgive God. I'm just joking with you, except I'm not joking about that. You cannot outgive God. God will meet your needs far and beyond what you ever give him. He has an unlimited resource. What about helping in a church? Do you help when you're asked to help? Now, when I seen Richie show up this morning, I thought, nah, Richie, you need to go up. You're the guy here. No. I said, you're the guy. I've heard about your preaching. I had the honor of doing a wedding with him. But everybody knows Rich Stones is a great man. I love the guy, and I respect him so much. I'm glad I never played football against you, Rich. I'm telling you, man, I'm just glad I never did. Complementary roles is another one. I guarantee you on the football team tonight, there are complementary roles. Championship teams are comprised of several individuals who are willing and they take pride in playing a variety of roles. And everything works together. If you noticed, this wonderful lady led the service today. Jen is running the sound room back there. They work in concert. When people work together rather than against each other, things run smoothly. When we take our egos out of it and our selfish agendas and we think, what is God? What glorifies God in this whole thing? You see, for the football team, oh, there we go. So what did I do this time? 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, unity of mind. That doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. You do not, everybody doesn't have to be a Republican. Everybody doesn't have to be a Democrat. Everybody doesn't have to be independent. We allow too many things to divide us. We need to put those things aside. They're not, listen, you know, whoever's in the White House, God is in charge of the world. Amen? Whoever's in the White House, will they make a difference? Yes, they will, but God is in charge. I can put my head on a pillow at night and know that God's calling the shots. And he'll use whoever's, wherever they are. Now, we do need to pray before we cast a ballot. Okay, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Humility. We're to be humble people. Humble people. While individually, the player's not solely responsible for the team's success, collectively, each role forms a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. I want to read something real quickly here. I'm not going to read it quickly. You won't be able to keep up. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The body, talking about the body, we're talking about the body of believers, talking about you this morning, in every other church in the area. Because keep in mind, we're not in competition with other churches. We're in cooperation for the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. Now, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We are baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body. And he goes on down. But God, I'm going to go on down to verse 24. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division, no division, no division. Say that with me. No division. No division. We're not to be divided in the body. But that his parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. I appreciate that our sister remembered the Bischoff family that lost that boy. Wasn't that his last name, Bischoff? I can't fathom. I can't fathom. I can't. Neither can you. Unless you've been through it. You may have. We still don't know how other people feel. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. One person is important as the other. Because you're on a board of I don't know who's on a board here. I don't know how you operate. But one position is no more important than the other. Now, here's something I want to throw out. Some people like to get... It's sort of like that when Jesus... Accidentally hit that. When Jesus was talking about praying in public, he was talking about the Pharisees. The Pharisees loved to pray in the corner loudly so everybody would think they were so religious. And Jesus said, you know, do things in private so God, you do things so God will bless you openly. Do your works of service. Don't do them for applauding. Here's what he said. Don't do this. If you're doing it for that, he said, you just got your reward. You just got it. That's your reward. I mean, you're not going to get anything else. I'm not going to send you anything else. You're not getting a check in the mail. You're not getting anything from FedEx, nothing from Amazon. That is it. I'm telling you, that is it. You wanted the applause, that's what you got. You wanted men's attention, women's attention, you wanted all that, that's what you got. That's good for you. If that's all you did it for was applause, that's your reward. He says, don't be bragging about yourself. Some people will get more attention than others. That's their role. This wonderful young lady, I love how she leads a service. When she gets something to lead the service, she's not doing that for attention. She's doing it because she loves the Lord. Maybe no one else would do it. I don't know. But she's really gifted at it. She's really gifted at it. Jen's back here in the room, doesn't say a word. I asked her to pray for me so I wouldn't rub my nose this morning. I mean, people know me. It's awful. It's awful. It's terrible. It's awful. I'm tempted to go see somebody hypnotize me and tell me a way not. You think I'm kidding? I'm really not. Clear communication. I guarantee you on the sports team, when Mahomes or what's the other guy's name? Quarterback? Garoppolo? Used to be Brady's backup. When they make a call, they call a play. They make sure it's clear, concise, and everybody knows what the play is. If they walked up to Tom and said, hey, guys, I'm not sure what we're going to do. No communication, they're probably not going to do well in the game. And that's the same in anything, in a home. Guys, don't assume that we can read their minds. We cannot read their minds, their wise minds. That is a mystery. There's no way you're going to read their minds. And ladies, you're not going to read ours. That's just not who we are. We can't do it. God says he's not the author of confusion. To be championship players, to be Super Bowl people, to be Christians who make an effect, who make a difference, we need to communicate clearly in the church what's going on. It can lead to frustration. And I've done that. I've made all the mistakes you can make in a church. I've dumbest things, try to do things well, try to do this well. I mean, I really try to stay on the edge of cutting edge of stuff and still keep things simple. But you've got to keep people informed of what's going on in the church. You got to let them know. They need to know. Well, I don't know what's going on. Well, maybe you know all that's needed to know. But clear communication. We need to be clear about it. Off the field, people need to continually monitor the team's effectiveness, modify when necessary. Clear communication. Are you communicating clearly? Constructive conflict. Proverbs 15, 18. Hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. Do you have a problem with a temper in church? I mean, if you don't get your way, if something's not voted your way, do you throw a little hissy fit because you didn't get your way?
Well, I wanted this color carpet. But I didn't like those flowers they had up there.
Are you kidding me? Sometimes we're more like little kids than we are adults. I mean, what is the mission? We go back to the mission of the church. The mission is to bring people to Jesus Christ. It's to be friendly. It's not to be about me, 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 me. It's about attitude. Constructive conflict. We can sit down. Is there somebody who's ticked you off? Maybe even in, okay, what about your homes? How do you handle conflict? Do you talk? Do you talk? I find in my house that I am misinterpreted quite often. I'm not even going to ask you guys to raise your hands because I don't want you to go home and get in trouble. I'm not going to ask you. I find that I'm misinterpreted a lot. The only one who seems to give me 100% approval is my cat, Molly. See, I'm right there. I mean, you know what I'm saying. And sort of the same way with the ladies. They probably can say the same thing. He doesn't understand me. He just misinterprets what I'm meaning. Constructive conflict. Guys, the gospel teaches, if you have a problem with somebody, you're not to get on Facebook and blast it all over. You're not to get on your cell phone and email and text.
Do you know what so-and-so did to me?
No, we don't. Scripture says go to that person privately. One-on-one. And you pray before you go, and if you're mad, you wait till you're not mad before you go. Because Satan likes... I mean, let's just make sure we recognize Satan is all about disrupting and tearing up what's going on here at Victory. He wants you to not speak to somebody. He wants you to be unfriendly. He wants you to... Hey, let me tell you a story about a friendly situation. I was at a little church down in Caton Bridge, West Virginia. Nice bunch of folks. I was raised on a farm. They were all farmers. And this one guy that I met him one time. He said, he's such a nice guy, but he won't come to church. I said, you ever invite him? Well, he knows he's welcome. That's just about one of the dumbest things you can say. I mean, I'm sorry. On a range of stupidity, a 1 to 10, 10 being off the chart, that's pretty much off the chart. So I went and visited this guy. I can't remember his name. I can remember his face. And I'd go visit him. I didn't invite him to church the first time I met him. I just want him to know that whether he come to church or not, he and I were pals. We were good guys. We're friends. I mean, we like each other. He was a likable guy. I'm a likable guy. But except some of you Pittsburgh fans, you just don't like me because I root for the Patriots. But then there's this thing of grace. Remember what the mission is. The mission is about the gospel, not about rooting for a team. So you got to love me for that. Anyway. Would you believe I got this guy to come to church after about a month? I mean, I'd stop by and shoot the breeze with him. He said, hey, pastor. I said, yeah. He said, what time is service? And I said, well, it's about then. Well, how should I dress? I said, you dress any way you want. As long as you don't come naked, we don't care. You know, just wear some clothes. Clothes are really important. So he shows up. And I watched him. He said, clear in the back of the church. Would you believe not one person there went and greeted him? Not one person in that group of people that called themselves Christians went back and shook that guy's hand. Do you know he never come back? And it broke my heart. I mean, I honestly cried on the way home. I went and seen him. He said, they just don't like me. I don't know what happened in his life. It doesn't matter. None of us are sinless in here. Guys, we're all a mess. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're all a mess. We are. Let's just face it. We can go around... Ooh, I never did that. No, yeah, but you did something else. Because we're sinners. We've done that. And he never came back. And these people could have had this guy walking you into fellowship. Another person could have entered the kingdom of God. And I never did get to lead him to the Lord. He was never receptive after that. His heart was closed and was hard. If you're here, you see somebody you don't know, welcome them. If you don't, shame on you. Get out of your little circle. Get out of that same group you're in or whatever and go greet somebody. Let's wrap it up with this. Cohesion. Cohesion's a big deal. A characteristic shared by many championship teams is that they genuinely like and respect each other. Even over their differences, even if one's there again, I know people say, well, I don't know how they can be in this party and be a Christian. That's wrong. We can't say that. We are judging, and I can't do that. I cannot do that. I won't do that. There's things that just make me furious. I hear them said, but I have no right to judge, and nor do you. I mean, I grew up, I hated Pitt. Remember Pitt and West Virginia played? Would you believe my kids would tell their teachers, we can't say the word Pitt in our house. Daddy says it's a cuss word. I really did say that. But see, that's how extreme we can get. Cohesion. The players like to spend time together outside of practice. Do you spend time outside of worship? Do the guys get together? The guys need to get together. If somebody needs to pick up the mantle and run with that, say, hey, look, guys, let's get together over a meal. Somebody bring a daily bread. Just bring a daily bread. We had Bill Stewart to church one time. What did Bill bring? He brought a daily bread. He was a believer. He said he was a born-again Catholic. Majority of players tend to socialize together. The majority of believers focus and they get together. They get together for meals. I thought I had another. Well, let's just go back up here a second. Does anybody ever remember, probably the younger people won't remember, Brian Leftwich? Anybody remember Brian Leftwich? Played at Marshall University. He played at Marshall. I knew the guy. I met him years ago who recruited Brian. Marshall was playing a ball game. You talk about cohesion, looking out for each other. This is looking out for each other. Brian broke his leg in a ball game they were playing. I forget who they were playing. His leg was broke. And if you get on YouTube today, and Jenna, I almost brought you a video, but I couldn't download this stupid thing. I don't know what that was about. Anyway, Brian breaks his leg, but he's a good passer. He's got great receivers. I don't think he had Randy Moss at the time. I don't think they had Randy Moss. But Brian Leftwich was a tall guy. His leg was broke. He couldn't walk. His leg is actually broke. The bone's broke. And Brian is standing there. They wrapped it so he could stand there. If you see the video, you bring it up on YouTube, you're going to be amazed at it. What Brian did was this. The lineman came and carried him down the field after he completed a pass, and he would throw another pass. There is the epitome of teamwork. When one of you are down, listen. Galatians 6:1, those who are spiritual, restore those who have fallen, whether they've fallen in failure of some kind, restore them in a spirit of gentleness, unless you yourself fall into that same failure. Don't stone them, don't talk about them, surround them, love them, bring them back. I met with a leader of a motorcycle gang this week, Christian motorcycle gang, and they're dealing with that. Cohesion. Jesus said this to his disciples. I bet they were just sort of flipping out. He said, guys, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And they said, what's that, Jesus? Love one another. I'm sure one of them said, you know something? That's not anything really new. I mean, we knew about that. No, he said, I mean not just emotionally. I mean love and action. Guys, we want to be a Super Bowl team in a Super Bowl church and winning. If we want to be winning as a church and fulfilling what God's called us to do, remember we have a common goal, a mission. The mission of the church, reaching the lost. What are you doing to do that? Commitment to the church. Are you committed to this church, a Victory Church, or whatever church you might attend? Now, I don't know what I did there. It's not Jen, it's me. I messed it up. Clear communication. Are you talking to each other in the church? Do you communicate about what's going on? Constructive conflict. Don't fight with each other. Stand together and battle against the stuff that's trying to destroy you and destroy your church. Fight against Satan. Don't fight each other. And if you have a difference, work out your difference. Work it out. Do what the scripture says. Go one-on-one. Has somebody in here offended you? Are you under your skin when you see them? You just want to give them one of these. Jesus said, and the scripture says, go to that person one-on-one in private and try to reconcile with them in the spirit of love. Reconcile. Cohesion, harmony in the church. You got to have it. If you don't have harmony, you're in trouble. Complementary roles. Remember, some people are going to get more attention than others because that's just the nature of the position they're in. They're not doing it to get attention. If they are, their motive is so wrong. Attitude means a big thing. Jesus said, if you want to take us away today, Jesus said, the Son of Man, read it with me, let's all read it together. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's it. He said, we're here to serve. I'm here to serve. You're here to serve. When you get out of here today, when the service is over, welcome somebody. If somebody you don't know, go welcome them. And I know for some people, it's uncomfortable. But we need to get out of our comfort zones. And that includes me. There's things I have to get out of my comfort zone. I just have to do that. I need to stretch. But it's all about the mission of the church, which is bringing people to Jesus and glorifying Him. That's it. It's a pretty simple mission. Let's pray. Father, today, I thank you so much for these people. I thank you, Lord, for this privilege and this opportunity. Please bless them. Bless the Victory Church. And God, I pray for their pastor and his team today and his pastor's family. In Jesus' name, amen.